see in the life of Abraham and of Isaac, as we've been studying and carrying through, and now in the life of Jacob, Esau, we see that God used just ordinary men, aren't they? They were men whom God raised up, who had faith in God and dared to trust God and to believe that He is who He says He is. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And He's the God who is creating for Himself a people unto His name. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. And He's the God of Israel. And God is the one who is putting forth the plans in the Word of God as to one day a nation would one day be would repent and be a blessing to Him and to share forth to the Gentile people the truth of what His desire was, that Israel would be a witness to the nations. So we see, and as we continue on in the story, we see that Isaac is up in years. He is blind, and he passes on the blessing. We know the story of the deception of Jacob. God told Isaac's wife Rebekah that she would have two sons, and there'd be two nations. Let's chapter 25. In verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And so this is when God has spoken to Rebekah, and Rebekah had questions as to why the struggle and so on. And God says there's going to be two nations within her. And, you know, Jacob and Esau as the sons, God had, his plan was that the elder would serve the younger. And God's plan was that that Jacob would be the one that would bear the seed of Israel. And that his seed would be as the dust of the earth. But he doesn't mention about the heavenly seed to Jacob. He did to Abraham, the dust of the earth, and the stars of the heaven. And we see two nations today. We see Israel, and we see the Jewish people, and we see the Gentile people. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:32, the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God, which makes up both Jew and Gentile together. And God's plan was that Israel would be separated from the Gentile nations. And we know in different instances of Scripture this wasn't so, as man went their own way and separated from God. But that was God's intent, that the Jew and the Gentile would be a witness, bear the witness of the truth. The Jew would bear the witness of the truth of the Word of God, and then together the Jew and the Gentile make up the Church of God. That's what we see today. And that was a struggle that Peter had in accepting the Gentiles, and how God used him in the house of Cornelius and so on, what took place there. And Peter had a hard time accepting the Gentile people as part of the kingdom. And God showed him very clearly. And so we have this here. You know the story of the deception of Jacob. It was time for Isaac to give the birthright. And Isaac had, he was a man of the field, and Jacob was more one of pottage and so on, of making of the things of the house, and Esau was a hunter. But we see that Jacob was a schemer. He was a supplanter. He was a deceiver. And you know, we can't look at the whole story without stopping to think of the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. And He's a God of grace. And God will do as He has set forth in His divine grace to bring forth. His desire was that Jacob would be the one to inherit the blessing. But we see how Jacob took it upon himself in deceiving in the hypocrisy that he showed in presenting himself before Isaac as Esau, the scheme of his mother and Jacob together, and his mother was helping him and helping him plan. And so that's how Jacob received the birthright and blessing. Isaac, too, was, he despised the birthright. He, even though he was in a position to receive the birthright, but yet he despised. And you know, we see today people who despise the things of God, and the spiritual things, the things that God wants us to dwell on as part of our life. So often it's sold for for naught. And Esau sold a birthright to Jacob for very little, for a morsel of bread and cordage. Very little. And you know, sometimes we see people that are selling themselves to the world and will receive not. They receive something that could never be compared to the value of one soul being redeemed through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jacob as a deceiver. There's a lot of deception in the world today, isn't there? There are people that are deceiving. They're deceivers. And they're leading people down a blind pathway because they don't recognize the truth of the Word of God. They have their own ways and their own goals and ambitions, but it's not in accordance to the Word of God. And you know, Jacob, in his deception and all that he had done, Jacob was the one whom God had chosen in his sovereignty to show forth his grace to others. God is a God of grace and of mercy. And if we see through, when we see through Scripture, God's sovereignty and God's plan, and the covenants that God gave to Israel, these were covenants of promise. They were covenants of promise that God made to Israel. And we look at Ephesians 3, Paul speaking about the Gentiles. They're apart from the covenants of promise, without hope. And you know, the covenants that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as God made his promise to them, it was a fulfillment of God's plan that Israel would be the one that ultimately would bring the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would be the one come through Israel. You know, one of the couple of the things that that was part of the birthright was the fact that that one would be the priest of the family. He would be the one to carry on the responsibilities as a priest in the family. He would speak before the Lord to carry on that work as a priest and minister the spiritual things to the family. That was part of the responsibility in the birthright. And then also, if we look into the genealogies in Matthew of the Lord Jesus, they're also in the part of the descendants of the line that would ultimately be part of the line of the Lord Jesus Christ in his lineage. That was part of the birthright that God had set forth that Jacob might receive. And so we see that there was conflict between Jacob and Esau, wasn't there? Two brothers and the conflict that was there. And we see oftentimes in families where there are conflicts, disagreement, things like that. And you know, the only one that can straighten out or bring to agreement on conflicts can only be through the Lord Jesus Christ and the acknowledgement of how he would want us to handle a conflict. And sometimes conflicts go on and even a lifetime. And how sad it is when divisions are made in families because of conflict. But that's not the way God wants it to be, is it? He wants us to come together and to make things right one with another. There can be conflicts in the assembly here, and God wants things to be in harmony one with another. And sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes it's very difficult, and sometimes it causes us to humble ourselves before the Lord. And here was two brothers who are facing a conflict. We can also think of the fact that the spirit and the flesh, the conflict that is there in the life of the believer. How the flesh wants to dominate, and how Satan wants to influence in his ways and seek to destroy the testimony of a believer. But God wants us to dwell on the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, the things of the Word of God, the things that build us up, the things that count for eternity, and that helps us to grow in the things of the Lord. The flesh will always destroy, will always seek to tear us down, so there's a conflict there. And Paul writes about that in Romans and the latter part of Ephesians, and the struggle that is there. It's a daily struggle. It's a moment-by-moment struggle. That we might truly be those that would walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So there was a conflict there between them. And let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 16, lest there be any fornicators or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He was a fornicator. He was a profane person. He didn't realize the worthiness of the birthright. He despised it. As a profane person, as a fornicator, one who diverts himself from the truth of what the birthright really was, to take on to go into another direction, but not to realize that God was his intentions, that as the birthright would be in his sovereign will and grace, and as Jacob, he found no place for repentance. It was too late. He had already sold the birthright. And the blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob was already fulfilled, and it was too late. Though he sought it with tears, his heart was broken, but he could not, there was no place for him to repent. And how sad it is today that there are those that are turning away from the truth of God and turning to the gods of this world, the influences of this world. You know, there's going to be a time, though there are tears, it's going to be too late. When we pass from this scene, from this world, without repentance, there is no repentance, no way of repentance. It's now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of repentance. And you know, that's, we We need to acknowledge the fact that God has His sovereign will and His sovereign purpose. His sovereign grace will be carried out. I'm going to look at Genesis 28. Verse 1, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham, to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Egyptian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughter of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Moji, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. Jacob in this portion is fleeing from Esau, isn't he? And he's going to get a wife of the house of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob, as we know the story, he served in that house, didn't he? He served for many years. Jacob is known as one who serves. And we see that in the story that as Jacob goes, and he goes to that place that Isaac had told him to go. But Esau went to Ishmael. Now Ishmael, of course, is the son of Hagar, Abraham's handmaid, and we see too that Isaac came the Edomites, which were a very a people that were a real conflict with Israel. The Edomites were not a friendly people. And that came through the line of Esau. And of course there was others in that line as well. But so Esau has chosen this path as a fornicator, as a profane person, and he went that way. Now you say, why did God choose Jacob over Esau? The elder shall serve the younger. Esau was the first to be born, and then Jacob. And we see that, let me just look at this. Yeah. And Jacob was a man who divinely by God was chosen. And sometimes you don't understand some of these things, but it was in God's plan that Jacob would be the one to receive the birthright. We don't understand how God in his plan chose in this way, but nonetheless it's an expression of God's grace and mercy to us. As Jacob is fleeing, we see that let's go to Malachi chapter 1. Burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, verse 1. I have loved you with, saith the Lord. This is chapter 1, I'm sorry. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. As we see, as we don't understand fully in God's plan, it's past finding out our finite minds. But Esau, as a brother to Jacob, and as the older one, yet he loved Jacob. In verse 3, and I hated Esau, laid his mountains and his heritage waste, to the dragons of the wilderness. The way that Esau chose, that God says that he will ultimately deal with Esau. In the path that he chose, there is a path of certainly of rebellion, of turning away from God. And God is going to deal with him. But he loved Jacob and hated Esau. And you know, God's plan, as he carries through, we don't always fully understand, but God is God. And how he loved Jacob and hated Esau is beyond we can understand. But nonetheless, that's God's plan. And that's, and so we see that as Jacob flees from Esau, he, in verse 11, he lights upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. You get a little picture here of the sun is set. The day is over, and Jacob is looking for a place to sleep, place to find rest. And you know, some days, the day is going to be over. This day in which we're living is going to be over. And we're going to be at rest with God. And that's the day we need to look forward to. And we'll find perfect peace and perfect rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing him face to face. He took stones and he made a pillow. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on heaven and on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending. We have a picture here now of Jacob. And as he dreamed this dream, the ladder reaches from earth to heaven, and angels are ascending and descending. You know, it speaks of the fact of the angels of God as messengers to God. would as God's messengers, would present or proclaim God's message to man, wouldn't they? God's message, ascending and descending, the communication of man to God, the communication that was broken in the garden, would now be restored through the Lord Jesus Christ as in the picture of the angels ascending and descending. And it's God's message to man. Man can communicate to God, and God can communicate to man. John chapter 1 and verse 51. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. See the heaven open, the opening of the heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And we see as speaking here of the Lord Jesus Christ and God's communication to His Son, the message of the angels, and God used angels. When the Lord Jesus was baptized, the heavens was open, and the voice came out of the heaven, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There's that communication from earth to heaven that God wants with man. We see as we go on, Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And God is going to give Jacob, he promises to him, the land, very land that you're lying on, I'm going to give it to you. And many of God's promises are seen in the land and in the spiritual blessings to man. These two areas we see that God speaks of in his covenants, his promises to Israel. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and the east, and the north, and the south. And in thee and all thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again in this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Isaac awaked out of sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! There's none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. What a great picture here of Jacob. What a dream that he had. And he saw God. And he stood above it. The Lord stood above him. And what a great thing it must have been to Abraham, or to Jacob. And he reminded to him the blessing that God was going to bestow on him. And we see that Jacob, as the son of Isaac, and as the one in whom would be part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it would be the one who would be recognized by Israel as a patriarch of God, the one whom God chose in his sovereignty, this is the one who would receive the blessing and would be the one to fulfill the promise of God that God had promised to him. Abraham or Jacob was a deceiver, and Jacob struggled, and he was a schemer, and but God had promised this to him. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his toes and set it up for a pillar, poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of the place Bethel, and the name of the city was called Luz at the first. Luz means separation. Bethel means the house of God. And what a great picture. We were at one point in time, we were separated from God. And through the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting Him as our Savior, we're part of the house of God. We're part of the household of God. 1 Timothy 6, 3:15 speaks of the fact that, let me read it, concerning the household of God. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We're part of God's house, aren't we? We're part of His house. We're pillars. We're to be pillars. And just as Jacob took the stones that he had for the pillars, and he set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil on top of it, we're to be pillars in the church of God, in the household of God. We're to be pillars. We're to help to hold up. But also greater than that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the pillar. He upholds all things. He's the great pillar. And He's the pillar and ground of the truth. The very foundation of the house of God. The ground. It must be solid ground in order to hold up the house of God. And Christ is that solid ground. And we as believers need to recognize that and to be real pillars in God's church and bearing His testimony and bearing burdens one of another, caring for one another, and encouraging one another. The oil that is poured upon speaks of the Spirit of God. It can only be through the work of the Spirit of God can anything be accomplished in the house of God. The Spirit that dwells within us bears witness of Christ, that others may see Christ in us. Jacob's life was changed, and he vowed a vow, "If God be with me, and I will keep and will keep me in this way that I go, I will and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, that I might come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." And Jacob listened to the blessing that God gave to him, and he said, "If God be with me, and that I will turn again to my father's house in peace." And you know, God is with us, isn't He? He's promised to be with us. His promises are yea and amen. And you know, He's promised us to take us home to His Father's house. He's promised that one day, as I've gone to prepare a place for you, so I will return and receive you unto myself. In my Father's house are many mansions. So we have the picture here in the life of Jacob. And let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, we give you thanks for your word and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, help us day by day to seek to honor your word in all that we do. And Lord, sometimes we get drawn astray and we are not following the path that you want us to do. And Father, help us to be drawn to you and to look at you, not to look around, but to look at you and have our hearts and minds focused on you. Lord, we thank you for the promises that we have through these men that you have chosen and that are fulfilled and that will yet be fulfilled in the days to come. And we just give you thanks. And we praise you for all that you've done for us. Ask your blessing on this day for your goodness. In Christ's name.